Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty, Father and Mother, Giver of life and all good, what a blessed thing it is to realize that it's you who brought us here this evening, you who have been holding us together in your love while we grow, and you who feed us with your word. Lord, help us come tonight open-minded, open-hearted, willing, and receptive to your word, to give it a home in us, so that it might help us become, in fact, the people that we are already in spirit. Move, Lord, in your people. Move by the power of your word in such obvious and unmistakable ways in each one of us that it becomes absolutely clear and unavoidably evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. In the Father transcendent, the Son omnipresent, and the Spirit immanent, we
stay in that place of deep rest. We'll now rest with God in his word. So for that, we'll just keep our minds open and relaxed and listen with the ear of the heart for just a word or phrase that the Holy Spirit would like you to have today for your transformation in Christ. Our first reading on this Wednesday in the 14th week of Ordinary Time is from the book of the prophet Hosea. Israel is a luxuriant vine whose fruit matches its growth. The more abundant its fruit, the more altars he built. The more productive his land, the more sacred pillars he set up. Their heart is false, and now they pay for their guilt. God shall break down their altars and destroy their sacred pillars. If they would say, "We have no king," since they do not fear the Lord, what can the king do for them? The king of Samaria shall disappear like foam upon the waters. The high places of Avon shall be destroyed, the sin of Israel. Thorns and thistles shall overgrow their altars. Then they shall cry out to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall upon us." Sow for yourselves justice. Reap the fruit of piety. Break up for yourselves a new field, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain down justice upon you. The word of the Lord. The psalm is 105, and the response, "Seek always the face of the Lord." Seek always the face of the Lord. Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim his wondrous deeds. Glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Seek always the face of the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds he has wrought, his portents and his judgments that he has uttered. Seek always the face of the Lord. You, descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth his judgments prevail. Seek always the face of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent these 12 out after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter into a Samaritan town. Rather, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is the gospel of the Lord.
There was a bumper sticker that was current for 50 years, let's say, after the 60s. I could remember 50 years. And it said this, question authority. Question authority. You see that bumper sticker? That's really an interesting thing. The bumper sticker should question authority. And I began to wonder, what is authority that they want to question? In tonight's scripture, Jesus gives them authority to go out and heal the sick, cure all manner of diseases, drive out evil spirits. And now the disciples have authority. So let's trace that word back a little bit to the story of the centurion servant in the Bible. Jesus is accosted by a servant, or a centurion, who comes to him and says, "My servant is at the point of death." And Jesus says, "Well, I can come and take care of that." And the guy says, "No, you don't need to. I understand you're a man under authority. And all you got to do is stay here and say the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus is astonished. He said, "I have never in all my meetings with people in Israel come across anybody who understands like this guy. Honey, I don't have to go to your house. You know that?" "Yeah." "Because the reason is, I'm a man under authority," says the centurion. "I'm under the authority of Rome, and persons under me are under my authority, and I say jump, and they jump. And I say go, and they go. And I know that you have that kind of authority in spirit. So you don't need to come to my house, just exercise your authority." And Jesus says, "Go, your servant is healed." And of course he was. So the authority is not something exterior to us. The authority of Christ, the authority of Spirit, is internal to us, and it's always already present. It's always ready to be discovered and accepted. Now let's go back to Hosea. Israel is a luxuriant vine. And oh, they're prospering and overflowing and everything's going great and they're getting abundant. And he said, "What do you do?" Now remember, Hosea is a prophet. He's a man under authority. But he's the only voice of the prophet at the moment. And he's telling these people, look what God is doing. Israel is prospering from their relationship with God as the people of God, chosen to deliver the consciousness, the concept of the one God into humanity. And what do? You go build pagan altars. You go set up pillars in the high places and worship made-up kind of gods to what? To do what? You're already fine with God. You're already blooming and prospering. And you want to go put yourselves under the authority of imaginations? Of images, of stones, piled up high, and you think that's going to prosper your reason. No, no. In fact, Hosea says it's not going to prosper you because you've departed from the true authority of the God, and you've moved out into the periphery of you doing something well and right and true. It used to be child sacrifice at that time, too. It's very common. People would give their children up for a good crop or something, or win a war. So what they're saying is there's a reason that the people of God need to stay under God's authority. And there's a reason that things happen when they don't, that are random and scattered and degenerating, deteriorating, decomposing. They're rotting because the vitality is in God. The life force is in God. The creative activity is in God. And the minute we leave that creative activity and put ourselves under the authority of our own chosen idols, our self-created idols, which might be my 401k. Huh, wonder how it's doing with the Brexit and everything. And gee, all that kind of stuff going on in the Middle East. I wonder if my stocks are going to be okay. Or, I wish you'd change my mother. I wish you'd change the behavior of my child. That's an authority we put ourselves under. It's not the authority of God. The authority of God is accessed in the words of the psalmist best. What is, you know, I often, and maybe you do this too, but I often overlook the psalm. It's kind of a bridge between, here's the Old Testament version, here's what Jesus is doing, and then there's this little psalm. But what does this psalm say? Praise the goodness of the life that is living you. Magnify the gratitude you have in your heart. Look at what he has done for you in the past. Oh my goodness, I have been rescued and saved and gotten out of trouble so many times. And then the false self goes, yeah, but what did you do for me today, God? See, when you're under authority, you don't negotiate with the authority above you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You say jump, I'll say hi. To keep under God's authority is to keep our attention on who we work for and who works for us, because God is who lives us, who breathes us and beats our hearts. We're in solid God. We're in an ocean of God. God's in us. We're in God. The attention is worshiping at altars that it has made for itself and it doesn't need to. Because when that attention is taken back into the heart of our own being, what we begin to realize is that we too are disciples under authority. We too go forth to heal that which is sick, to drive out evil spirits, to bring health and abundance. To what? People outside me? No. Within me. When I am in Christ and Christ is in me awarely, I'm under his authority and he does the healing. Jesus Christ heals. Jesus Christ gets us out of jams. Jesus Christ, do anything. Now remember, we're not talking about a guy named Jesus that's somewhere else now. The Christ that is risen is here in our hearts every single second of every single day. But if we're not looking, if we're not attending to that presence, if we're not aware that we're working for Christ, living by Christ, serving Christ and others, then we're pagans again. We might as well not have God. It's just words. If God is just a word, a three-centered word, three-lettered word, of what value can that be to my right now experience of life? There's life in this belly. There's life in your belly. Where is it coming from? It comes from the Lord of the universe, who makes black holes and quasars, who gives us beautiful views of the stellar cosmos through the artifice of man. But it all comes from God. And when we catch on, when we put ourselves under his authority, then things begin to happen as they ought, orderly, unfolding like a luxuriant vine, unfolding like flowers do, stage after stage after abundant stage. Barbara bought home some zinnias that are the most amazing things. They are arcing over with petals that look like birds' feathers, one laying over the other in perfect beauty. Now, can you imagine packing those things back into the bud? The art with which they are packed is stunning. It's even more stunning when out of that tight bud, petal after petal after petal after petal after petal unfolds and reveals that golden heart with the creative energy in it, the stamens and the pistils and the germ. That's where the life is. It's in the heart. And it's in your heart and my heart too. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, he says. Well, did it just start when he got there? Or was the kingdom of heaven at hand when Hosea was prophesying? You bet the kingdom of heaven was there. The kingdom of heaven was there when Lao Tzu was teaching in China. The kingdom of heaven was there when Ramana Maharshi was teaching in India. Do you think the kingdom of heaven is reserved for Christians? Ron Rollheiser sat in this chair, and Father Rollheiser says, you're going to be really surprised when you get to heaven and find Hugh Hefner sitting next to you. We think we know all about God's love, kingdom of heaven, in-group, out-group, nothing like it. God is life. God is abundant life, pouring out and pouring out. And the more we praise that abundance, the more we give our attention to that instead of what seems to be a good idea, the more surrendered we are to his absolute presence, his absolute capacity, and his absolute love, the more luxuriant and happy and full and free and rich we get. Because of us? No. It's because of God. Because that's the way God is. And when we put ourselves under his authority, are we going to lack anything? No way. No way. I don't want to be hemmed in, though, you know, caught between rules. God doesn't have any rules. He's got a center. Centers are everything. Centers where the life is. Centers where the action is. And centers where the authority of our own lives is. So when we learn to stay centered, as the markets go up and down, as the news changes about wars and environments and oceans and various and sundry other changing things, which always only change, we just abide in the center. And life still pours into us, and love still pours out of us, and order happens in our lives. In the midst of chaos, God draws order out of circumstances to those who love him. And it's not like romantic love. Oh, God, I love you so. We love what we attend to, and we give our attention to what we love. And what we give our attention to grows in power and manifestation in our lives. Now, to say the words, I'm under your authority, Lord, that's nice. It's really a good gesture. To be under his authority, to operate from there, means a choice second by second by second by second. Drop it, drop it, drop the issue, drop the objection, drop the complaint, drop the fear, drop it, come back into the heart. There's where the kingdom of heaven is. It's at hand. It's always been at hand for everybody, everywhere. The vehicle of Christianity, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is a means for universal access, human access to that central kingdom. But it's not the only way to get there. The center is the center, no matter what we call it. Got a lot of words, but here's the best trick. Silence. God's first word. In that perfect stillness, in that perfect awareness that isn't caught in events, in deeper places than where there are names and forms, in that perfect silence, everything is already healed. Everything is already whole. We've already been made sane. We've already been made capable of relationship. We've already been transformed. Now the outer person says, show me, I want to see the evidence. We go back to the centurion servant. I never saw faith like that anywhere. Faith doesn't need a bit of evidence. The vine just grows, and if it grows left, it grows left, and if it goes right, it grows right. Tim just is lived, and he's lived however God wants him to be lived, and so are you. Now, we can either catch on to that and join him in what Thomas Merton calls the general dance. Wow, life alive as a me. I'm a discovery. You're a discovery. You're not a problem being solved. Every human being is being lived by God. Every human being has the kingdom of heaven within, at hand. Now, here's the finish. The kingdom of heaven has a king. Imagine that. It has someone with whom we are in relationship. And you don't tell a king, well, could you move that over a little? And could you? It's just like, thank you for the job. Thank you for putting me on the team. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be alive in your love and by your grace. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim his wondrous deeds, glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds he has wrought, the portents and the judgments he has uttered. You, descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, the chosen ones, he, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail. So all that we hold dear culturally is going to disappear, like all cultures have. Countless cultures have existed on the face of the earth, and their ruins are constantly being discovered, ruins that were not known before. Or at least a dozen, maybe a few more, cultures just discovered in the last couple of decades. Big cities that exist under people's fields they were plowing. Cities! Gone. Now, if we serve, keep our attention on the life that is living us, pouring into us, and praise it and glorify it, no need to worry about disappearing, because whatever can disappear isn't me. Whatever has a name and a form isn't you. You're the free spirit, the consciousness of life that is capable of praising and loving the One. What a deal. That's an authority worth being under. My own authority, I want to do this and I don't want to do that. And I hate this. I am so tired of Tim's authority. I love being under the authority of my Lord. Amen. The love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always. Amen.